Track 6. Back to the grind at the sports desk once more after my short break. This is Brian Gall with the latest news. Well, the soccer season may have started, rugby will not be far behind, but the cricket leagues do their best to continue despite frequent downpours during this very soggy August. Unfortunately, in Saturday's matches, rain did not come to the aid of the Pedmore Club in the First Division of the Worcestershire County League. The match didn't last long enough for that. Pedmore were dismissed for a paltry 127, and their opponent, Starport, needed only 30 overs to overcome that. The match involving Hagley, our other local side in this league, was brought to an early conclusion by rain after Hagley had scored exactly 200 runs from their innings. The visitors, Eastnor, may have been on course to surpass that total when the match was abandoned, with their innings at 171 for 7 after 41 overs, and they were awarded a winning draw. With only four league matches left until the end of the season, Hagley are safe enough in mid-table, but Pedmore still need a win, or, for greater comfort, two, to be sure of remaining in the top division next year. The same could be said of Old Swinford in the second division, although in their case one more victory ought to be sufficient. At the weekend, they provided that rare thing in cricket, a tied match. Playing an away game against Lye, a local derby really, they bowled out the opposition for 145 and then were all out themselves for exactly the same score. They earned 12 valuable league points for the tied match, and although third from bottom of the league table, the bottom two will be relegated, they have a 26-point margin over the team next below them, and that ought to be enough with only four matches remaining, although one more win would provide reassurance. In the same league, Belbroughton won a very low-scoring match against Enville, whom they dismissed for only 67 runs and went on to win by 8 wickets. Having completed a victorious Test match series against South Africa, England have immediately moved on to a 3-match one against the West Indies, but the first of these proved rather disappointingly one-sided as England completed victory by an innings and more than 200 runs inside 3 days. The West Indies team is a very inexperienced one, as they will only pick their players from those who commit to playing in their domestic league. Although the West Indies no longer boast such stars as Greenidge, Richards and Garner, who were the terror of all the other cricketing nations back in the 80s, they still have some good quality players, but ones who can earn much more by playing abroad, and they're therefore not included in the present side. I think this is likely to prove a disappointing 3-match series against England, who will probably win it 3-0. And it's time for me to start my regular reports on the Glass Boys, that's Stourbridge Football Club, who've made an excellent start to the new season after narrowly missing out on promotion last year. There have been quite a few changes in personnel since last season, notably the departure of Luke Benbow, who was by far the club's top goalscorer last season, but he's moved to the Solihull Moors Club, who play in a higher league. However, maybe Stourbridge have unearthed a suitable replacement in Jordan Archer, who scored two of their goals on Saturday in a commendable 3-1 away win at Whitby Town. This was Glassboys' third league fixture of the season, and so far they've won two of these and drawn the third, making them joint top of the league table. Then on Monday evening they had a home match in the league when Nantwich Town were the visitors. This ended, perhaps a little disappointingly, as a 1-1 draw, but again Archer was the scorer of the Glass Boys' goal, which maintains their unbeaten record. Let's hope this promising start to the season by our local team will see them challenging yet again for honours by the spring next year. Among senior West Midlands sides, the best starts are down to West Bromwich Albion and Wolves. The Baggies, that's West Brom, have won both their opening fixtures in the Premier League and share top position in the league table with Manchester United and newly promoted Huddersfield, while Wolves suffered their first defeat of the season on Saturday against Cardiff City, who are currently top of the Championship, unbeaten after four matches. Things have not started so well for Villa, who only managed their first win of the season on Saturday against Norwich, whilst Blues, that's Birmingham City, lost their latest fixture, disappointingly, against Burton Albion. It's very early days in the new season, but we'll keep an eye on these local sides as the weeks go by. I said at the start of this week's report that the rugby season would not be long in starting, but women's rugby is very much in the thick of it already. The Women's World Cup has been held, this time in Ireland, and as I write this on Tuesday, we're at the semi-final stage and England women will be in action this evening against France. The English ladies sailed through their group of four teams with victory over Spain, Italy and the USA, and now face a French side, also unbeaten, who racked up 48 points in their match against Australia and 72 against Japan. The other semi-final will feature, inevitably I suppose, New Zealand against the USA. Despite their earlier defeat by England, the US team qualified for the knockout stage of the contest. And news of the Women's World Cup winners next week. The final takes place on Saturday. It's not only cricket that's prey to rain. Speedway suffers too, as tracks can become too dangerous to race on when wet. The Wolverhampton Wolves were a victim of the weather on Monday last week when their fixture at the Monmore Green track against King's Lynn had to be postponed, leaving the club's recent record as two very narrow defeats. I was surprised they lost the first of these away at the Somerset Club, because Somerset are one of the weak links in the league and Wolves had thrashed them at Monmore the week before. However, they lost the return match by a single point, despite all the efforts of their Swedish stars, Lindgren and Torsell, who carried the team once again and so nearly brought off a victory. The following week, Wolves were on their travels once again, this time to Poole. You may recall that I reported 2 weeks ago a narrow win for Wolves against these opponents on the Monmore track, and they very nearly pulled off the double down in Dorset, but this time they lost by just 3 points. By finishing each of these matches within a 7-point margin of the victors, Wolves picked up a losing bonus point each time, but they've slipped back in the league title chase and are now 9 points adrift of league leaders Swindon and 7 behind second place Bellevue. The Bellevue team are visitors to Monmore next Monday, the August bank holiday meeting, which always attracts a big crowd, and there's sure to be a bumper one this season. Following that, Wolves still have to meet Swindon, the league leaders, home and away, so they still have an opportunity to make up ground in the league and, of course, to make sure of a place in the end-of-season playoffs. The Cradley Heathens team, who ride in the National League, have also been active recently. They thrashed the Isle of Wight team by 61 points to 29 and followed that with a 43 points all draw against the Birmingham Brummies side. An exciting local derby for their fans because, of course, Heathens, without a racetrack of their own, have a lot of their fixtures at the Brummies Perry Barr Stadium. As their season heads towards its climax, the Heathens lie fifth in the 11-team National League table. The last time I was at this desk, a fortnight ago, I was lamenting the lack of medals earned by the GB team at the World Athletics Championships in London. At that stage, only Mo Farah's 10,000 metres gold medal was recorded against GB's name on the medal table. Our men's and women's relay teams eventually added to the total, including a thrilling gold, just by a hair's breadth, earned by the men's 4x100m team, who squeaked home in front of the USA. But overall, I think we underperformed, not helped by the BBC TV commentary team constantly overhyping the prospects of some of our athletes. Athletics came to Birmingham on Sunday when the Diamond League meeting took place at Perry Barr, but again the occasion was not garlanded by any exceptional British performance. Highlight of the day was victory by Mo Farah in the 3,000 metres, which he later claimed would have been his last track appearance in a British vest. He hopes to continue his running career in marathons, but is unsure whether that will include the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. Mo says he needs to run a few marathons to see if it's an event that suits him before he decides. Farah was given several standing ovations by the crowd during the afternoon, but they didn't have much else to applaud from a British point of view. In tennis, the last of this year's Grand Slam events, the US Open, starts next Monday, and we still do not know if Andy Murray will be fit to take part. He's not been able to play in any of the US warm-up tournaments, which in past years he's always regarded as essential preparation for the Open itself. Due to his prolonged absence from action, Andy has surrendered his world number one ranking, which he's held for about the last 9 months, and where his place has been taken by Rafa Nadal. In the run-up tournaments to the US Open, the best British performer has been Johanna Konta, who reached the quarter-final of the event in Cincinnati, where she was beaten in straight sets by Simona Halep, the Romanian player. That was a reversal of the result when these two met each other at Wimbledon a few weeks back. And to finish on a local note this week, more news of Stourbridge's up-and-coming table tennis star, Charlotte Bardsley. Charlotte has gained entry at the under-15 age group category to the Europe Youth Top 10 tournament, which will be held in Worcester next month. As the name suggests, this event will feature the top 10 European players in the age category. Each will play the other nine, and the one with the best record at the end is declared the champion. She was quoted in the local newspaper as saying that she's really excited to be in the competition, that it's a great opportunity, and that she thinks she has a great chance. Here's hoping. And that's all the sports news this time. I'll be back next week, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.